time for Coffee with the Chicken Ladies, a podcast for people who love chickens.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Chrissy and Holly from Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. We're here, and this is episode number 162 of our podcast, where we talk about everything chicken, family, fun, and
more chickens.
More chickens. We drink a ton of coffee. I'm talking a ton. But most importantly,
we hug chickens every day.
And we kiss them too. Don't forget. We brew coffee from a little coffee house in historic Gettysburg, PA. Bantam Coffee Roasters. Holly, and what kind of coffee are we brewing today?
Today we have the Bright and Bold Brazilian.
It's Brazilian. We're enjoying it too. Mm-hmm. Where can everybody get this coffee so they can enjoy a cup of it?
BantamRoasters.com.
Use the code FluffyButt for 10% off anything on the website. That is a great code. Use it. And follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Are you ready to sip some of this delicious Brazilian coffee and chat?
I am. But first, a word from our sponsor.
We have some exciting news to share from our sponsor, Grubly Farms. They're here, new and improved Grubly's World Harvest.
I'm a longtime subscriber, and my flock love the healthy, nutritious treats, plus orders $40 and more ship free.
If you haven't heard, Grubly's has a fantastic layer pellet and crumble feed. It's packed with plant and insect protein, perfect for those picky chickens and ducks.
Grubly Farms makes food and treats for healthy pets and planet.
To support us and Grubly's, go to our website or our show notes and use the link. Try it today. It's January 2nd.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year again. We've wished Happy New Year. We're actually officially here.
It is the new year now.
It is the new year. New year, new you.
No, new year, same me. It is me.
Come on, get those resolutions out there.
You know what my resolutions are? To build a goose run.
Well, that's not a resolution. You have to do that now.
I'm resolving to do it. What do you want? I like my resolutions to be realistic. I've guaranteed success for this.
You're like, I have to do this, so I'm going to make this my resolution.
Yeah, I think it's brilliant.
It makes me laugh. So yeah, we're here. January, the beginning of the muck part of the winter, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the holidays are part of the nice part of the winter when you want that nostalgia, you want that snow, you want that coldness.
I don't want that snow or that coldness.
Me either. But, you know, you want to feel like chestnuts roasting on an open fire. And then January 2nd comes and you're like, okay, spring.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're done.
I've already got little flats out to start planting things.
You start thinking about the garden. I mean, what a difference a few days make. And you start thinking like,
thanks
oh,
for
no.
putting that song in my head.
Chestnuts roasting.
No. What a difference a day makes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It does.
It does.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you start thinking about just the chickens coming in the spring, what we're going to do in the spring, and the whole way of thinking turns.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm really glad we've... I just pitched that one right to you. That was like a softball right in your wheelhouse. We've already ordered our chicks for the year, and I think that's a good thing because I got the worst case of chick fever the other day.
Yeah, we were talking on the phone.
And I was like, oh, I need all these. I need the boy face black Spanish now.
I had to talk you down off that ledge secretly.
I mean,
you didn't realize I was talking you down, but I was talking you down.
You were?
See, you didn't even know.
I don't think there was any real danger. I was just losing my mind.
You were like, you wanted all the chickens at the end.
I did.
Like, yeah. I think the white face black Spanish, that was one that I was on the fence about. Like, mm-hmm. I kept going back and mm-hmm. forth.
But
when I had to chase those Andalusians around a million times over, that kind of is like, yeah, no, I can go without
love
Mediterranean
right
now.
I've loved the white face black Spanish for years. And I know I will have them at some point, just
I
not
think
yet.
I've loved them longer than you.
You're full of chicken poop. They were on the save the date card for my wedding.
That my husband designed for you.
That is a flat out lie. Your husband wouldn't know what a white face black Spanish is if it pecked him in the head. Sorry, Joe. You wouldn't.
I think he would. It's a white face.
Black Spanish chicken. You're like, I just need that black chicken with a white face.
It's a new year, but not the new us, really. We're still joking around like we always do. But yeah. So what a difference a day makes.
Well, what's your New Year's resolution, Smarty Pants?
I need to laugh more. That's an easy resolution right there.
I'm going to dial that back.
Yeah. Now, my New Year's resolution is to...
Speak softly and carry a big stick?
Now I do that every day. I don't
Right?
No, mine is to actually get a little even healthier with my lifestyle. My lifestyle needs to be healthier, and I need to start eating a little healthier.
Okay.
So it's not per se to change my whole diet. That's not what I want to do. What I want to do is interject a little bit more goodness.
I think interjecting goodness on the regular is an excellent resolution. And
so yeah.
Hey, baby, I need a little goodness interjection. Yeah.
Can you interject some goodness, please? We better watch out. We're laughing at our own jokes. We might get some fallback.
First rule of comedy.
I read this little meme and I really do believe it. It's start looking at things that make you happy and make them big, that they're tiny, but make your cup of coffee is fantastic. My coffee's fantastic.
Oh, I thought you meant just make your coffee like huge. Get a huge cup of coffee. No, I like the second better.
Yeah.
I want a huge cup of coffee.
Yeah. You know, like something that's small that happens to you.
You mean instead of 2 geese, I should get 20 geese?
I think that's going to happen anyway. But, I mean, seriously, like taking a small thing, like, you know, being nice and being out there and really embracing.
I kind of think I do that anyway in my sarcastic way. Because, like, if I'm going to do X, Y, or Z, I'm going to enjoy it. Like, what are you doing? I'm sitting here with my coffee and it's amazing.
Yeah.
My bed is the best bed ever. My pajamas are the best pajamas ever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, embrace what you have and over the top.
Love it.
Yes.
My chickens are the most stunning, right. Beautiful, friendly.
It's like you're allowed to have 4 chickens. Those 4 chickens are the best four chickens in the entire world.
Well, honestly, I'm thinking of Susan. And Susan's chickens really are the 4 best chickens.
Susan, you know we're talking about you in Houston.
And our wonderful Carla as well.
Yeah, like embrace those small moments in life. And that's kind of where I want to be every day, you know?
I do feel like I've made some headway on that. I'm being honest. I do.
Yeah.
And some of that has just come with age and wisdom.
Yeah, you have. Because over the holidays, I was freaking out, you know? Like,
and I was like, this is the best peanut butter cookie I have ever eaten.
Yes. And I was like, I've got to make 1,000,000 peanut butter cookies.
I know. Oh, my God. Just settle down.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to work on that. That's one of the things for the new year.
I can help you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be fun. Well,
thank you very much.
I'm going to be like, look, Chris, look over there. That's the best chick ever. You're going to need that
shut
chick.
Shut up.
Shut it.
If you're listening to our show and you're loving it and you're loving the laughs and you're having fun laughing with us, head on over to Apple Podcast and leave us a written review. It does amazing things for the growth of our show. While you're there, hit that subscribe button for 2 reasons. You never miss an episode. And the second thing is they count our subscription, so it does make a difference.
If you're looking for other ways to support the podcast, you can tell a few chicken-loving friends about the podcast. We have had a ton of word-of-mouth referrals lately, so thank you all.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You can share your favorite episodes on social media. You can check out our Etsy shop, t-shirts, mugs, tiny chickens. You can become a patron of the show, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies.
Join our happy hour. It's lots of fun.
It is lots of fun. The other thing you can do to help support the podcast is visit our website and our show notes, use our affiliate links and discount codes, and buy products from our sponsors.
Yay!
Hey, Chris.
Yeah?
Do you like subscription boxes?
Does it have anything to do with chickens?
Of course.
Then yeah. Let me take a minute to tell you about the Chicken Love Box. If you love goodies for your chickens and you need to go to chickenlove.com.
I love the Mega Box. Tons of useful products for my flock and a chicken tea for me.
You can't go wrong with a chicken tea. They are so cute and so soft.
In the August box, I absolutely love those amazingly good smelling nest box herbs and that giant roll of rooster stickers.
They're great. I love the wood decorative plate. It's going up in our studio today. And with all my baking, those egg separators are going to work awesomely.
Boxes start at $39 a month. They ship immediately after your order, and shipping is always free.
Such a great deal. Don't wait. Get off the nest and click already. Use the code CWTCL50 for 50% off your first box of a 3-month subscription or more. That's chickenlove.com. That's chickenluv.com. Get your subscription today.
Have you heard of Strong Animals Chicken Essentials? They make natural supplements for your flock.
Strong Animals has used plant-based products and natural approaches to promote the health and vitality of backyard flocks. Their products contain organic essential oils, prebiotics, and other natural ingredients to support the immune system and digestive health. Give your chicks and chickens what they need to thrive with Strong Animals health products.
visit GetStrongAnimals.com today.
The Breed Spotlight is brought to you by Murray McMurray Hatchery, defining quality for generations. For over a century, Murray McMurray Hatchery has remained a trusted family-owned business, working tirelessly to ensure our poultry meet the highest standards.
Whether you are an experienced enthusiast or just embarking on the journey, look to McMurray Hatchery for guaranteed quality, rare and heritage breeds, low minimums, and all the supplies you need to raise your flock.
Request a free catalog today.
It's a new year. It's a new me. A you, a new you, a new me. It's the Breed Spotlight. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just staring at you like you're a freak show over there. I'm not sure what to do.
Well, gee, thanks. Yeah. It's a new year and a new me and a new you. That's
not
what it is.
But I told you it's not a new me.
Oh, it's a new year. It's always
the same. It's the same old cranky me.
But here's the thing.
Wait, you're supposed to say, oh, bestie, you're not cranky. Yeah,
my lips are sealed. Okay, so this week's breed spotlight is
the Lavender Orpington.
One of my faves.
Some of the most beautiful chickens ever.
And it's a lot of people's faves.
Yeah, so some of the breeds actually have some interesting stories around their color variations. So we'll be doing a few of these.
We're going to be mixing them in because mm-hmm. you wonder, the chicken is still the Orpington, but there is a different story.
Right, exactly right.
How that color came about.
The beautiful Lavender Orpington is one of the most popular colors of Orpington in the U.S., and they're quite popular in their native U.K. as well.
And they're rising. I mean, they rose over COVID.
Right.
That's, I mean, everybody, that's when I got my lavenders.
You got your lavenders before COVID.
Mm-mm, during COVID.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's weird. Okay. Lavenders share almost all of the same attributes as the Buff and the rest of the Orpington crew. They're sweet and docile. They're large and fluffy. They're great with kids. They're very huggable.
Yes. All of those things.
Just love them.
They're just like a Sesame Street character. Like, kind of. You just want to love them and love them. And they're amazing.
The chicks will cost you more than average, but they're some of the cutest babies in the world, and it's well worth it.
Yeah. I mean, the lavender is such a different color.
Yeah.
That sometimes you're just like, wow. And lavender chicks are
adorable. Stunning. They're stunning chicks. They really are. Lavender is not currently recognized as an official color in either the APA Standard of Perfection or the British Poultry Club. This will probably change in the not too distant future, though. There is currently a Facebook group that is working towards APA acceptance. Good luck to them.
I think we're seeing lavender across the board
other
in
breeds.
Most breeds. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the lavender really did start with the Orpington. I mean,
I don't know the answer to that.
It's an opinion of mine. I feel like I started seeing them first with the Orpington.
Yeah, you probably did start seeing them first.
But the lavender color is just so unusual that people gravitate towards it.
The original Orpingtons were developed in England in the 1880s by William Cook. Go back and listen to episode 95 for our in-depth Orpington spotlight. And you can listen to episode 66 for the Jubilee Orpington spotlight.
And if you want to go back to early days and listen to us before we got really, you know, into it, go back to episode 2 and listen about the Orpington.
I wasn't going to mention episode 2.
What's Orpington also?
I know, but I wasn't going to mention it because...
Oh, we were rough then.
We were rough.
But hey, you get the real us too, across the board, even in two.
You can also head over to Murray McMurray Hatchery's blog for our Orpington spotlight there.
That was fun to write.
Mm-hmm. It was. Now, William Cook and his family were some of the first professional breeders around, and they were all in on the Orpington brand. They established breeding centers in the UK, and that was complete with a poultry hospital.
They were like, the technology was before their time. They were like pioneers. Right. They didn't even, you know, realize it.
They also have breeding centers in the U.S., I believe in New Jersey, in Australia, and in South Africa. William Cook's first bird was the Black Orpington, followed by the White, the Buff, the Diamond Jubilee, and the Red, among others. The Lavender Orpingtons were largely developed by an English woman, her name was Priscilla Middleton, in the 1990s in the area of Kent in the U.K. Kent is the birthplace of the Orpington breed, so this is quite appropriate.
It is very appropriate. Mm-hmm.
Now, it took her several decades and a lot of meticulous record keeping to achieve that beautiful lavender color.
I mean, that was not that long ago, the 90s. It really wasn't that long ago.
In some ways, it was so long ago.
In some ways, it was so long ago, but some ways, it really wasn't in the grand scheme of things.
Was she wearing parachute pants while she was working with her lavenders?
Oh, all the zipper compartments.
All the zippers. Mm-hmm. The lavender color is also referred to as self blue, and that's because of the way the genetics work and to differentiate them from other blue chickens.
Right.
For example, the blue Andalusian. The blue Andalusian and other birds that we just call blue chickens only produce the desired shade 50% of the time.
Correct.
But the self blue uses different color genetics. The lavender gene is a diluting gene. It essentially removes pigment from feathers. So if you start with primarily black birds, breeders would use birds with the lavender gene to dilute the black to a pale gray.
So it's like when you go get your hair done to get those grays taken out and you get highlights, you first have to take the color out of your hair and then put the highlights in. It's exactly what it is.
Okay.
But it's done genetically.
But it's done, yes. Okay. Lavender is also a recessive gene, so both parents must have a copy of the gene to create the lavender-colored babies. And I thought this was interesting. There's also the possibility of a split when breeding lavenders. So if you're breeding a black Orpington with no lavender genes to a full lavender, you get 100% black lavender split babies.
But they can pass it on in the future because they have the gene.
And they can potentially. The babies are often beautiful. Some of them have a clear split where they're lavender below and black on top.
Right.
You can also get splits by breeding a black Orpington with one lavender gene to a full lavender, in which case you get 50% lavender, 50% split. And there are a couple of other scenarios for that as well.
This is where people get into, you know,
the minutia of the genetics. And this is where, if you're doing splits and trying to take, say, splits back into full lavender, this is where you need meticulous record keeping.
Oh, yeah. This is where you're looking at this chicken and where what happened and then breeding it to this chicken and seeing what happened.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that is meticulous at that point. That's not like a 4-H breeding project at that.
No, not at all.
In that part of time.
One more thing to note about the genetics. The lavender gene is closely related to a gene that can cause retardation of feather growth. It often shows up in the tail area, and it can look a bit like shredded feathers.
You know who had that? Maybelle.
Maybelle had it, yeah.
Yeah.
Breeders will breed lavenders back to black Orpingtons to help strengthen the genetic diversity. And then again, you want those good records because then you have to bring it back to the full lavender.
The lavenders that I got in 2020 during COVID were, I had four of them, and June is the only one who is living, and they passed away, two of them, due to reproductive issues.
Right.
And the other to a freak respiratory phenomenon that just happened overnight. So you can see how early genetics and early breeding can play into the quality of the overall bird that you're going to get in the end.
I didn't write this into the spotlight, but since we're talking about this, you and I have both suspected that given the demand for them, there were some breeders who were just rushing them.
They rushed, and I feel like I did get rushed.
Maybe like a small gene pool or some other,
And I got them from a farm supply store that usually has, you know, very good. They do vaccines and everything else, but that doesn't change the fact that there was a rush to get them out when they did. And I felt like the genetics weren't fully where they needed to be with these birds.
Right. Our farm store gets them from, it's not one of the super well-known hatcheries.
No.
And yeah, we do suspect that the breeding was rushed for those birds.
Right. Because, I mean, the things that happened to them were like basically genetic problems.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that. And this is where getting the color is important, but also keeping the integrity of their genetics
Absolutely.
Is also very important. And we say it not just because we're trying to say, oh, you have to do it this way. It's to keep the health of the bird at the top end.
Right.
You want a bird that's healthy and lives a very long time for you, not one that's going to have tons of problems and die early due to their breeding.
Right. Exactly. You want a robust line. You want really, really healthy birds because not only is it difficult to lose your beloved bird, but going through all the medical stuff for reproductive cancers or reproductive diseases is harrowing for you and your birds.
Yes.
And everything about it's terrible.
It is. It is. And to have two of them, you know, within a short time have it.
Yep.
It put a spotlight on me like, yeah, this was trying to rush these out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's look at like their cousins, the lavenders. They're large. They're big. Mm-hmm. They're like the Jubilees. They're like the Buffs.
They're
everybody.
Proper Orpingtons.
And they are tons. I'm talking tons of feathers. So it takes a lot to kind of part those feathers to get down to
the
skin.
I mean, the breed standard calls for profuse feathering, and it's a soft feather.
There's a lot of soft feathers under the top layer. So it's a lot of fluff.
Yeah.
And this is where fluff is good.
Yes.
So roosters, I think sometimes when you do genetic breeding for color, sometimes the sizes can change a little bit, but here it doesn't. The roosters are coming in at about 9.5, and the hens are coming in at around 6, 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
You can sometimes get an Orpington of either kind, whatever variety of smaller or larger,
right,
it can definitely happen. But that's about the size that you're going
to
get.
That's supposed to be a pretty realistic representation of their sizes.
Right.
That may change in a breed standard for the APA.
Right.
But that's like feet on the ground, Lavenders in real life, that's about the weights you're going to be seeing.
Right. Now, they do have moderately sized straight combs. Now, here's the thing. Straight combs, some can have a little fluffy. It all depends genetically how they're bred.
Yeah.
Every Orpington I have has a different comb.
Right, right.
So everybody's an individual, but this is kind of what we say. They're going to have straight combs, clean slate gray legs and feet.
They have really pretty feet.
They really do. They really do. Mm-hmm. And the cockerels and the roos have some massive wattles.
That's pretty typical for Orpies in general.
Yeah. I mean,
the boys have got a set of comb and wattle on them.
Now, some of the Lavenders have a darker face than others, and their eye color can vary a bit too, mm-hmm. because, again, can't keep saying it enough, it depends on how you're breeding them.
Right.
The genetics that you're using. Now, their feathers come in, they're pale lavender gray. They call them lavender. They're not going to be purple.
Right.
They're gray.
It's like a silvery
purple. Gray. Yeah.
It's very pretty.
They're beautiful feather coloring. And, you know, you may get a lighter lavender, you may get a darker mm-hmm. lavender. And, you know, apparently the excessive sunlight on the lavender feathers can cause some yellowing. I have not seen this in mine.
I read that a UK breeder had written that. And I was thinking about, I've seen some photos of lavenders that have yellow patches.
Wow.
So I do think that that's a possibility.
Well, then
your lavenders have a lot of shade.
They have a lot of shade.
Yeah.
And the other thing is you would wonder if, okay, now they molt, they grow in new feathers. Will that feather pattern go back to a normal color
it's
at that point?
It's not necessarily a feather pattern. I think it's just a discoloration of the feather.
Right. Like, so once they molt, they'll be fine.
Right. Like the front of my hair is gold from the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the hens are decent layers of medium to large brown eggs. You'll probably get about 3 to 4 per week.
Okay.
Now,
I'd say the 3 to 4 is when they're younger.
When they're younger, 3 is probably when they're like 3 years old mm-hmm, or so.
Average for their
about an average.
Middle years.
Now, here's the thing. You know, like we look at there's different websites that say they're going to lay between 200 and 280 per year, but broodiness puts a large play on this.
But 200 to 280, cool. I don't believe they lay that many eggs.
I mean, 200 to 280 is good, but if we're doing 3 to 4 per week, but if you cut in, your hen goes broody 5 times a year, you're not going to get that.
Well, darn, a hen going broody 5 times a year is a nightmare.
I've had it with Orpingtons. And that's the thing that plays in these numbers. This 200 to 280 is an Orpington that does not go broody ever.
How long do your Orpies usually stop laying during molt?
So they'll stop during a molt and won't start back up till spring.
So roughly how many weeks is that?
It's probably from September to February. September, October, November.
So let's say 16 weeks. 52 weeks minus 16 leaves 36, okay? So we're going to say 36 weeks. And let's say they lay 4 eggs a week. It's only 144 eggs.
Right. It kind of plays in like...
What I'm saying is I don't believe the 200 to 280. Any Orpington breeder I know...
Right.
...will tell you that they're...
Well, I can say this. Now, Margot is a master layer. Now, Margot is my buff Orpington that I just got from McMurray Hatchery mm-hmm. last spring. So she is not quite a year old yet until the spring. And she started laying first.
Mm-hmm.
And she is laying me almost an egg a day right now.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how long that stays.
But she already tried to go broody. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to cut into it. She only tried it once during a day and then she went back. But here's the thing. That's unusual. But that might be... There might be a lot of variance in the Orpington breed with that. So you might
it's
have
possible.
One that lays between 2 and 280. Then you might have one that lays 140 to 180.
I mean, my knowledge of Orpingtons has always been 150 to 180 eggs a year. Maybe they do lay a lot more in their first year.
I've had Orpingtons for 10 years, and they lay generally between 3 and 4 eggs a week.
Yeah, so you're looking at 150 to 180 with
so,
that.
But I'm going to tell you, Margo, we're going to watch her because that chicken's laying me an egg a day right now.
It'll be really interesting to see how long she keeps that up. I mean, maybe McMurray has some secret top laying Orpies.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
That's why
you go to McMurray to
that's
get them.
Right.
So,
that's right.
You know, that's the difference. So after seeing that, you're like, okay, well, those numbers, if she's laying me 6 to 7 eggs a day right now, those numbers would be true.
That can't, there's no way that's going to last. That's legwork numbers.
Let's just see what happens.
I mean,
all we can do is sit back and watch.
Right.
At this point, we can watch her and see what she does. But right now, almost every single day I have a Margot egg for at least a month or more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's just see. So let's go into Lavender Orpingtons and pets and companions. They're amazing. You can't go wrong. They're an Orpington through and through.
They are definitely a Chicken Lady favorite, and there are a thousand good reasons for that. They're very gentle. They do very well in a mixed flock of other laid-back birds. They're beautiful. They're photogenic. I will say that the chicks, the Lavender Orpington chicks, are some of the most beautiful chicks I've ever seen in my life.
And I will say this. You can have a diverse flock of Orpingtons. What I mean by that is you can look like you have a whole bunch of different chickens because the color varieties are through the roof.
Yep.
This is all around like the pet chicken poster girl.
Absolutely.
Or boy.
Yeah.
The poster chicken for pet chicken is the Orpington. And the Lavender is the poster for, besides the buff, people want the Lavender. The want is out there. They want this chicken.
Absolutely.
So here's the other thing. They're bigger, so they're going to need some help in the summer with fans.
Yeah, they're big bodied. I mean, they're a big bird. They're very fluffy. They can overheat without shade. They need cool water. They need electrolytes, fans, all those things.
And in the winter, you're going to have to protect those combs and wattles because some are pretty large. So they're going to need a little heating just for those combs and wattles.
Right. You'll hear people say that they're extremely cold hardy, and they are. But they still need shelter from the wind and weather, you know,
right,
whether that's rain or snow or whatever. And you're right. Combs and feet can still freeze no matter how big the chicken is.
Exactly. And that's what's out there. So you have to pay attention to mm-hmm. that. Now, there used to be a time and day when I first started 10 years ago, plus with looking for lavenders,
yeah,
you weren't finding them.
No, they were really hard to find.
And now the want of them has made the availability there.
Absolutely.
So that's why we're always saying about these chickens, if we want them enough, we will be able to get them. You have to push. And that's what people have done with this. So mm-hmm. now, our favorite hatchery of all times.
McMurray Hatchery does carry lavenders, really stunning lavenders. You can order them as straight run chicks. My Pet Chicken and most other hatcheries carry them as well.
Right.
What we will say is get the best genetics that you can find.
And I'm saying that from experience
right.
for mine. And
I'm saying that from experience from yours too.
Yeah, you watched. I mean, you sat right with me and saw me fall apart because you love them wholeheartedly, and to see something happen to them.
That was horrible.
Is horrible. Mm-hmm. And just the genetics are so important when it comes to this. Okay, so here's the part of the show where I say, send us your pictures. If you have these lavenders, flood our Instagram with your stories. Mention us. Hit that mention button and then put us in. And I can easily give you a reshare to our stories. We want to see your Lavender Orpingtons.
Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a chicken coop that's produced in a planet-friendly, sustainable way, try Nestera.
Each coop is made from highly durable, 100% recycled plastic that keeps the equivalent of up to 2,000 shampoo bottles out of a landfill.
Their clean, modern design will fit into any garden or run area and comes with an industry-beating 25-year warranty and a range of handy accessories.
Simple to put together, so quick and easy to clean, and most importantly, red mite resistant. Your chickens will love it.
Quick shipping from Nestera.us.
For a 5% discount, use the affiliate link in our show notes, on our website, and on Instagram. Link in bio. Check them out today. Roosties proudly sponsors Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. They're back with an innovative new product. You're going to want to check this out.
It's an extra large set, a 14-pound feeder and 3-gallon water with steep anti-roost lids. They're made of super durable material. You can either stand them on legs or hang them on brackets on your coop or fence. They're easy to remove and clean too. Plus, they look awesome.
We personally use Roosties and we're huge fans. So if you're raising chicks or keeping chickens, check out the Roosties store on Amazon or follow the link in our show notes. Okay, so we're going to move on to main topic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This week's main topic, we're talking to Nikki Husted, and we sat down and had a round table with her all about expanding your flock and what you need to know about this. Here's our round table with Nikki. Enjoy.
For today's round table, we have Nikki Husted joining us. You probably have already seen Nikki. She had a book recently published. She's extremely popular on both Instagram and TikTok. Nikki was a kindergarten teacher for her career. She left that to be a stay-at-home mom, and that has blossomed into her career as a chicken educator. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad to be here.
It's so great to meet you in person. I feel like we've all been on the pages of social media for a while now, seeing each other. So it's so nice to meet you and get together in this and share some love.
Talk about chickens.
Talk about
Let's
chickens.
Let's talk about some chickens.
So just tell us a little bit about your flock for anyone who somehow doesn't know you already.
Sure. I have 32 chickens, only one rooster in that group right now. And
That's
most
a lucky
of my
man.
That's one I lucky know. Man.
He's loving life.
He's very happy. Yeah, he's very happy, except he can't get all the hawks. So he might have to have a buddy here soon. But I really like having one rooster, just to only deal with one rooster.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of rooster is he?
He's a blue Orpington. He's black, but he's an Orpington. He's real pretty.
Nice.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Love
Orpingtons. Shiny green feathers. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Orpingtons. Have my heart. I love Orpingtons. I'll never say no to a new color Orpington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any Jubilees?
I actually don't. I don't.
We each
I
know. Have two. We love them. We love them.
Yeah. There's an Orpington on the front of my book, actually. She's the rooster's favorite. Her name's Jenny. She's on the front of my book. So she's a buff.
Oh, I love
Jenny
that.
Around the block.
You also have some goat and you have two geese.
Don't go start honking now.
I don't have to honk. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows by now.
No, just don't start.
Okay.
Okay.
But you do have two geese. One of them is a special needs goose who has just the most beautiful story.
Yeah, she's wonderful. She came to us from a person who had her living with peacocks and chickens. She was being bullied and he was going to call her. And I said, can you just bring her to my house? Like, I didn't want geese because I like my chicken run to be dry. And I just didn't want to mix them. And now she's living with my goats. She has a friend. She's totally made a huge improvement with her swimming ability and just her skin and her feathers. She looks wonderful. And she started laying eggs. Surprisingly, we thought she was a boy. And now she's laying eggs almost every other day. And nice. We're just so happy that she's happy. So yeah, we love our geese.
I love
that. And what's her name?
Her name's Benny. My kids named her after Benny Rodriguez from The Sandlot. And when we thought she was a boy, so we kept her name. She's still Benny.
She's Aunt Benny.
Benny. I love Benny. That's yeah. Too cute. Well, what we're talking about today is adding to your flock. And we're approaching it two ways. We're both talking about bringing new chickens into an existing flock. And we're talking about, probably more importantly, what the heck to do if you don't have enough space and you want to add chickens.
It's the roundtable on expansion of your flock, because this is a real deal for chicken keepers.
Well, and it's also January. So all of you out there, you know, you already have your list of chickens and you may have even put pre-orders in already.
Put your hands up if you have it, because you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, expansion. Once you get one breed of chickens, it's never enough. You always want the next new pretty breed, and it is for real. So we're going to talk expansion and what to do.
So we're going to start with our guest. Nikki, you recently had a coop and run expansion. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. When I first started my original coop, I built it bigger than I thought I needed, which I always suggest to people, go bigger than you think.
Yep.
I didn't go big enough because, as you know, I have a bigger flock than I intended. I told my husband 6 chickens is our max, right? Well, 6 is like a good number, but then, you know, you get your chickens and then their first winter, they lay eggs for the most part. And then their second winter, they don't. But you got babies and they lay. So the next winter you need more babies in the spring. So they'll lay, and it's just kind of a continual cycle. So my coop and my run are maxed out right now. I think my coop is maxed out, but my run it's large enough for what I have. We live in Ohio here. We get winter and a lot of times they don't want to leave their run at all. We have a covered run that we wrap and keep warm, not warm, but we wrap it for winter. And they also have a fenced in area that's pretty huge. It's about 100 by 50 foot fence about, if I had to guess. They have free range of that whenever they want, but in the winter they don't leave it. So we realized adding more chickens, we're going to have to build onto the run. And luckily my dad lives next door and he's a carpenter by trade and has his own business, whatever. He always saves supplies. So I've never had to pay for anything on my run because my dad has metal roofing. He's like, oh, I have 4x4 posts. Nice. So I have 2x4s. He has everything.
Nice.
And he's like one of those guys who saves like every screw and nail, even if they're bent, he'll just like hammer it out. I'm like, okay. Anyway, so I was like, hey, Dad, come look at my run. Like, if I wanted to make it a little bigger, where do you think we could do that? And like by the next week, he's out there with a hammer, you know, taking apart the old one and adding the addition on. So yeah, we did just do an addition last winter, I think it was. So yeah.
That's
wow, you're lucky.
I know.
You are so lucky.
That is so lucky to have a dad that's going out there doing for you. My husband, I'm like, come on, Joe. He's like, not another run. Let's go. Let's do this.
I wanted ducks in the worst way, right? And Pete was very lukewarm on the ducks. He loves all the animals. I mean, the sheep, the chicken, he doesn't care. He was very lukewarm on the ducks. Then we went to Ohio Nationals and we came home and I was on fire for waterfowl.
Wait, what are you dropping here?
Okay, let's just say this.
What the heck?
I'm adding two of a new species. And the man who hates building runs is like, it was his idea. That's where I'm going with this. It was his idea. Anyone who listened to our December episodes knows this. It's fine. What I'm saying is my husband hates building runs. And this one was his idea. That's what I'm saying.
So you didn't have to pull him out by his ear?
No, not at all. Not on this one. Nope. It was Pete's idea. Remember that, baby. It was your idea.
It's always best, like Nikki was saying, we always recommend to everybody to start much bigger than you think.
Absolutely.
I started with 4 chickens and now I'm close to 30 myself. And it's never going to be just 4 or 6 chickens. Mm-mm. Really never going to be. So know that once you start a run, make sure you can expand it somehow or start really big.
Yeah. I'm one with the covered run. And that probably works really, really well in summer too, of course, because they've got tons of shade.
Yeah.
Did you find the roof part a real pain, or was it just like you were already building, you may as well put it on?
I didn't find it a pain because my dad.
Fair enough.
His business is primarily gutter and roofing. So he was just like, I mean, if I had to build it myself or I had to have like pull my husband in who his trade is like tech, he would have been like, I don't know what to do. Like, let's just throw some tarps over it. My dad is like, oh, we need trusses. He's like, he handmade the trusses. He's like, I'm just going to build them by hand. Like, he's insane.
Can you and your dad get in the car and drive to Maryland and come visit us? All we need to do,
just as a consultant is fine.
We no, just bring his hammer and his nails. I don't care if you're bent or not.
No, my dad says to me, he's like, don't. He's like, I'll get my camera out. He's like, don't record me because people are going to want me to come build a chicken coop and I don't got time for that.
He's right.
And the chicken lady, yeah. I wonder if all the coffee he likes. Tell me he drinks coffee, right?
Oh, that's all he, yes. Black
yes,
coffee
we got
from
him.
Morning till night. Yeah.
You are shameless. Okay. So did you find that there was like a logical place where you could open up the run and add to it?
So I don't know if you can visualize this, but my coop is an 8x8 shed and it's mm-hmm. a tall, like a normal human size shed. And then the run is an L shape. So it comes to the side of the shed and it went back. Like, okay. So we just, it used to just be like next to the coop. Well, we put an L shape. So we put it, you know, it was on the side still. And then we just built on behind the coop. So it just kind of added space and just made the roof a little bit longer.
Okay. I guess. No, that makes sense. Actually, that's probably a good idea.
That's awesome.
I mean, really just think about it. Your run doesn't have to be perfectly square.
No.
There's nothing that says your run has to be square. Yeah.
Mine's not perfect either. Like if you look at the run from my window in my house, like up high, it's like 4 different shades of white and gray, the roofing, because my dad just saves supplies for me. And then he just built us a goose run and it's up against our goat barn. And the goat barn, it has a brown roof. The goose run has a black roof. And I don't care because he just gives me free material and I'm not going to complain about what color it is.
I'm right there with you. Yeah, exactly.
So how much property do you live on?
We have about 5 acres. And then nice. my parents have, I want to say 17 next to us. So nice. My stuff kind of trickles over to their yard. Like we share garden space area. Like both of our gardens are on both of our properties are kind of spread out between the two. So my dad's like, you better not ever move because I'm not going to give up my garden and share it with some random person.
Well, it would be hard to move after having the chicken run, the goats, the geese. It really would be hard to move all that.
Yeah. I guess I'm stuck for a while.
Are you thinking you want to move eventually?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That would be great news to her dad. He would be like, I just heard that on the podcast. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
So, okay, Chris, what about you? What are you doing for the spring? Are you building? You adding? What are you doing?
I don't know, because Joe's listening to this.
I know he is. He is.
So, yeah, you know, in the spring, there's always,
Joe's listening to this and he's thinking, I want an in with Nikki's dad. That's what he's thinking.
He's like, can I get Nikki's dad to come over? So, yeah, in the spring, we are only getting a few chicks. So we don't have to worry about expansion so mm-hmm. much. Our expansion was about a year and a half ago. What happened was in July, a really bad storm came and it was kind of like, was it a tornado? It was kind of like, it,
Yeah, there were funnel clouds.
Yeah. And it knocked down a huge apple tree onto one of my runs. And I have two Amish built at that point coops in there. And the tree fell and the Amish coop took the weight of the entire tree. The chickens were under the coop. It saved everybody. But the run was disaster.
The run was a total loss.
It took us 2 weeks to clear the debris off the run. And then another like 2 weekends to build and expand. And that run was expanded at that point, double the size of what it was. So, you know, I'm on 3 acres. Holly Ann's on 4 acres. We have the room for expansion. Let's talk about too, like, you know, if you're in an urban area, you want to expand, you're going to have to look at your area and see what you can build for them also in that area. Looking at, do they have shade? Do they have shelter from the weather? You know, these types of things.
And maybe in a small space, you can't put up another run, but maybe you can make your existing run longer and divide it if you need to.
Right. If you want to do that.
That's a possibility.
Look at your coop size and see what you can do with your measurements and what you have.
Now, Nikki, you mentioned building a bantam flock. Are you planning to do a whole separate coop and run for that?
Yeah, I think so. I do have some bantams in with my regular sized flock, but I'm kind of looking to do a small, just a handful of chickens. Isn't that funny? Just a handful. Just a few. I'm not going to get any more. Just a few. Just but a I want to do like a few that my kids can really take ownership of and bond with. And, you know, I've never been a silky girl. Like I've tried them a few times. I've had silkies at my house before, but I don't know if it's just me. Have you guys had silkies?
We have not.
No, we tend to get more, not rough and tumble chickens, but we tend to get more weatherproof chickens. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we advise everyone, if you're a first time chicken person or even a year or two in, don't do silkies because like you said, they come with a little bit more baggage. They come with more work.
People make them work, but they're not always the easiest. So you're thinking about those for your boys though?
I don't know if anybody else finds this to be true, but my silkies that I've had in the past were not the brightest chickens in the coop.
I'm afraid anytime,
my rooster is amazing. If he sees a hawk, he will make the call and every single one of my hens will run into the coop, into the door, and he will block the door with his body, except for the silkies. The silkies will stare up in the sky and say, what are we looking at? And they always get snatched up. And I've never wanted to keep them at my house. They don't really like speak to me. That I'm not like, oh, I really want a little fluffy chicken to hold and cuddle. I'm not that kind of person. I mean, I am, but not really. Like, I know my chickens are using me for food, but my kids are like, we want to hold the chickens. And I'm like, they don't really want you to hold them. Like they're not really looking for that. And so I was like, if I get him a small coop and I put some bantams in there, maybe some like maybe Cochin bantams and some silkies or whatever, then they can kind of, you know, have their own like pet chickens, you know? Yeah. So that's what I was thinking of doing. And I'm probably going to do just a small one that won't hold too many. And I was thinking of doing like a tractor version. We don't have a tractor right now, a chicken tractor, but we've got a lot of pasture around the outside of the goat fence that I could kind of move them around and, you know, whatever. So that's what we're kind of thinking about. Well, I say we, but only me. My husband doesn't know this plan yet. So let's not send him this podcast. Okay.
So we're all in the same boat with our husbands, except for Holly Ann over here.
Okay. Can I tell everyone now?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know why he wasn't feeling the ducks, but I came home from the Ohio Nationals and said, oh, the geese made me lose my mind. He's like, we can get a pair of geese. I let Pete pick the breed because I thought that was only fair. And he picked American Buffs.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
So I'm so excited.
Yeah, that's exciting.
But here's the thing. No part of me thinks those are going to be my last geese. Really.
No.
Shocker. And so, right? And so, and not everyone has the luxury to do this, but if you can, it's great. So we are using one of our smaller coops. We're going to use our Nestera coop for the two geese. And then we will build something larger and more permanent for them. I'm assuming geese need a lot more room in a coop than chickens do.
That's the other thing is take some time to assess. Are you going to go move poultry? Like, are you going to start with chickens? Mm-hmm. Want ducks? Want geese? Put that in your plan of expansion and map it out and know what you're going to do because it's going to happen.
It is. It is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to meet the person who gets 5 chickens and then is like, that's good. I'll just, I don't know. Have you met anybody like that? I'm not.
Yes, we have. No. Yes, we have.
Who?
Susan with the Australorps.
Oh, we love Susan.
We have a Patreon And once a month, we do a Patreon happy hour for our members. And we have a longtime member, Susan, who has four Australorp pens. And that's all she has. And she loves her four Australorps. And she's perfectly happy. But she's the only person.
She is so amazing, too.
She's the only person. Yeah. She's got those four hens and she's happy.
That's good willpower, because as soon as you find out about all the egg colors, it's really hard to not
need. Rainbow egg colors, the different feather types, you know, all the different things. So once you look and you build and you say, okay, I need room. I'm going to build big, but I still want to expand. Once you look at the area, you look at the environment that they're in, then the next step is to look at those chicken breeds. Because that's really important, right, Nikki? To bring in a chicken that's going to mesh with your other chickens. It's going to make it a lot easier for you.
Okay. So my flock has been really used to me adding chickens from the very beginning. I think when I first got chickens, I don't even know. I started with just a couple, and then very quickly, before they were even laying eggs, had my first set of babies that I was working on integrating. Like they're kind of used to it. You know, they were, before they even knew what was going on, then, you know, they had friends, they had little friends joining them. And then I very quickly let a broody hen raise babies. And it took one time, I feel like, for a broody hen to put the flock in their place around babies. And my flock is just really good about letting me add new ones in. I think having a rooster is really helpful because he doesn't let the hens squabble. He jumps right in. I've got videos of him just like, you know, so the hens start squabbling about something and he hops right in, he pecks them both on the head and then they go their separate ways.
Perfect.
He's really good about that. And then he's good around the babies. So I know not everybody has that. Sometimes you get a rooster who's real feisty and doesn't, you know, do his duties, but my rooster's really good at that. So I add in chicks at least once every year. We do live out, you know, in the woods. So we do get predators and we do lose chickens now and then. I could lock them all up tight in my run, but they're not happy in there. So they're in my run and then they're in their outdoor space that's fenced in and safe from like my dog and, you know, a fox or something like that. But, you know, hawks can always figure things out or whatever. And then you just lose them because they die for random reasons. So we're always adding in chickens, I feel like, and my flock's pretty good at accepting them in, but keeping in mind that you want to pick breeds that are more mild. And if you start with like a real, like, feistier, flightier, aggressive breed, and then you're adding in more docile chickens, sometimes that's not going to go so well. And it takes a little bit longer to get them integrated.
Yeah. I think the broody hen thing is really interesting and important. We have a good friend in the UK, Fiona, and Fiona does, she breeds every year. She breeds Buff Orpingtons.
Sometimes multiple times a year.
Yeah. And, you know, same thing. Broody hen keeps everything under control.
And she lives by there.
Yeah, she does. I think that's a really interesting thing. Not everyone can do it, but that makes an interesting dynamic, you know?
Yeah.
Hen with babies, she's protecting them. Everyone in the flock realizes what's going on, and she's going to put you in your place. So that's fascinating. I also, your rooster sounds amazing. I had, for a long time, my Swedish flower rooster was the center of my big flock. He's since retired, but he did not, when the hens fought, he was a lover, not a fighter. When the hens fought, he ran. He just got out of there.
Hell out of here.
Casper, he was like,
drama, man. Give me the help.
No drama.
He's a drama.
But if you have a good rooster, he's worth his weight in gold. That's for sure.
Yeah. We'll be sad if Mike ever leaves us. So, yeah.
His name is Mike.
Yeah. His name is Mike.
I love
He's another one of those things, like my goose Benny, we thought she was a boy, ended up being a girl. Mike, we thought was a girl, and my kids named her Michelle. And then she got saddle feathers, and now she's Mike.
Mike, I love that.
I think the other thing, the broody hen makes things a lot easier. I think another thing that makes things a lot easier is choosing chickens of like personalities. So doing the research on the breeds, and we know that there are different personality traits with each chicken genetically that are kind of bred into the chicken. Some are more protective. Some are more bully. Some are just sweeties. And every chicken is an individual.
Right.
So every chicken can fall out of the category that they're put in for whatever reason. And we do know that what you put in, you get back. So if you put in more, you're going to get more back no matter what. So choosing a chicken. So if you have a run, let's just take my run. I started with Orpingtons. And I was kind of I didn't know in the very beginning, but I did get Americanas, and then I got Morans. Not the right choice at that time. They quickly kind of caused some drama for me. I was very early on, and you know, they are strong, bullheaded chickens, and they're going to try to take charge of a flock. So now that flock, those girls are still out there. They're called Drusilla and Anastasia. They're the stepsisters from Cinderella, if that tells you anything. And they're still running the show, but they're up in age now. So I just this year added the babies in with them. I stopped adding babies in with them for a long time and started a second flock with all like-minded breeds in it. So mm-hmm. It's so easy to integrate.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is taking your time with integration. Don't put pressure on yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're going to expand, know that if it takes 2 months, who cares? You're living your own life. Just do it slow. If somebody gets picked on, take the bully out, take the chicks out, then restart it all over again. Just being patient with flock expansion is huge.
Absolutely.
I think that's really important. If you do it right, then you won't have issues. So if you just throw them in and wish them luck, then you're setting them up for failure. So like you said, slow is so much better.
We've heard so many horror stories.
Well, I feel like it gives them a chance to establish some really bad habits. And then you're trying to get this undone. And it can just, especially if you're new to this game, it can be so demoralizing, I guess.
On everybody, the chickens, on you, on everything. I call it the young and the restless of the chicken world. It's kind of like you don't want the soap opera drama. So taking things slow and being patient with them and you, and know that I always use this comparison. It's not like somebody's going to knock on your front door with a suitcase that you've never met before and say, I'm here, I'm living with you.
Oh, you're
going to close the door in their face.
You're going to back that right up. In. No.
They're the same way. They have to get to know each other and say, oh, I'm like you. Maybe not, but I think I can live with you. Come on in. So patience with flock expansion. Patience, I think that's huge.
I'm going to recap what we've said so far that I think is extraordinarily valuable. The first is look for out-of-the-box expansion, whether you're doing an L-shape or you're doing my runs, my two main layer flocks. My runs are enormous. I want to say they're like 30-something by 30-something.
Your runs are bigger than mine.
And they're very irregular sized. And, you know, we had to make the decision that in order to get space, they don't look perfectly straight. And we were okay with that. So out-of-the-box is definitely a good way to approach this. Also, the possibility, especially if you aren't going to have someone, if you're not going to be able to physically do the building, maybe start off with
Nikki's dad.
And not everyone is blessed to have Nikki's dad, who sounds just amazing.
Now that we're Nikki's friends, we have Nikki's dad. He's coming over.
So make a really, really big run that maybe you can divide later down the road. If you're in the situation to do this, a broody hen can ease some of this transition if you're letting her introduce babies. Take your time and be patient. And the other thing I wanted to come back to is maybe look into smaller, easier to build coops, maybe coop kits. Just check out the quality because you don't, like the first coop kit that my husband and I put together was made of like balsam wood. I mean, you could put a finger through it. So if you're really careful with what you're doing, like the Nestera coops, which I absolutely do love.
Yes, they're amazing.
And you were talking about a chicken tractor. Chicken tractor is going to be on the smaller side. It's definitely more portable, but something like that might work if you don't have either the time, the materials, or
Nikki's dad
to build you some kind of a gigantic, amazing run.
Exactly.
Do these things sound reasonable, or am I talking through my hat here?
I think they sound 100% reasonable. And I think it's, again, just look at where you are, be patient with yourself, with everybody else.
You know what I also would throw in there? Be honest with yourself. Because if you know that you are not going to be content with a few birds, don't just say this is good for me. I mean, some of that's experience because we've all been there. For me, that was 20 years ago. And then I threw that out the window because I knew I was never going to stop getting birds. But try to be honest with yourself about what your means are, what you want, what you can actually get, etc.
Again, like we put this into play. If you're in an urban area or you have a smaller space, go with a smaller breed. Looking at the breeds is immense for setting up your system because, okay, say you're going to like chickens, go with the bantam flock if you're in a small area. You can have more of them. They're less space.
Or light-bodied birds like
Mediterranean.
Leg bars, leg horns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And kind of plan for what you're going to do. That's mm-hmm. what we all do. We sit down. This is why we're coming out with this in January, because right. the time is right.
The time is right.
Planning right now. It's cold. It's snowy. What else do we have to do?
Oh, it's not snowy. Stop.
Plan for spring. Yeah. It's snowy.
It's snowing here today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Yeah. I hate snow in my old age.
I used to love snow until I had chickens. And then I have to shovel their run because they will not walk in it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, the sheep will come right out in it, but then they demand that their hay is there with them in the snow, and it's an endless, like, I don't want wet, dirty hay. You know what I mean? Because you have goats. The sheep, at a certain point, the sheep are like, no more barn. We want the hay right here, and it's just going to make a big mess.
No, my goats won't eat the hay if it's got one drop of rain on it. They're like, can you get us something drier? Thank you.
I love it. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So I think the recap was awesome. Everything that you said is what we're saying. Take your time, do it mm-hmm. right. Here's the other thing. Start big. That's what she said.
That is what she said. But that's I think this was a really great roundtable, and it was really fun to have you on the show for the first time, Nikki. So we're going to ask you a few questions before we go. Nikki's book, Chicken Keeping, Pure and Simple, was that published last year or the year before?
I wrote it all last year. When did it come out? It came out this year. I think it was like May was the release.
So spring of 2023. So it's not even been out for a year yet. It's linked in our show notes. Go buy your copy. Now, do you have anything else coming up on the horizon you're allowed to tell us about?
Nothing I'm allowed to tell you about if you came here like 3 weeks from now, maybe.
Okay.
No, I do have some stuff coming out that is exciting for me, but I can't tell you about it, unfortunately.
That's okay.
But if you follow my social media, you will see it probably in the next month or two appear. We're doing a hatch along. My followers and I do a hatch along every spring, early spring.
Fun.
It looks like we're going to do end of February, beginning of March, just incubator hatching. This will be my 18th or 19th year hatching incubator eggs. So I love, it's like an addiction. Like if you chicken math, you have to have an incubator. So yeah, we're going to be hatching some eggs coming up with my followers. That's always fun in the spring. Gosh, now I'm trying to think. Yeah, I've got some stuff. I can't talk about some of the stuff.
That's okay. We put you on the spot. It's all right.
Fine.
I am working on a children's book right now, and nothing set in stone just yet. My illustrator is working on illustrations, but it's about my goose, Benny. So if you follow Benny's story, she'll hopefully have a children's book sooner than later. So we'll
That's
see.
That's beautiful.
And I get the last question of the day.
She does.
Is the most important question of the day. And every single guest that has come on the show has had to answer it.
But I already know the answer to this question.
I think I do too, but we still have to ask it.
We do.
What is your favorite breed of chicken? And it can be one or many. It doesn't.
Yeah, you
have
can
to
have
be
more
one.
Than one.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Orpingtons. They're just so chill. None of my Orpingtons cause trouble. My Orpington rooster is a gem. I think, and they come in many different colors. The only thing is their eggs aren't that exciting. But that's okay. You can color them at Easter.
I agree with you. We have had this discussion before about the Orpington. And we said the Orpington is one of those chickens that you could have all Orpies, but have a totally diverse flock because of the color varieties they come in. And you could look like you have so many different types of chickens and just have Orpingtons, which is amazing.
Right.
One of the good things about them.
If the only breed in the world were Orpingtons, I would not be bored. They're just fantastic chickens, everything about them. But you need to get yourself some Jubilees because they are stunning.
We love our Jubilees. Yeah.
I have a speckled Sussex. I have two speckled Sussex right now. And I was like, oh, is the Jubilee going to look too similar? But no. They are on my list. They are on my list.
They don't. We also have speckled Sussex.
We have sister speckled Sussex.
Which I will say are really an undervalued breed because they're freaking amazing chickens.
Yeah.
But no, the Jubilees, I mean, they have that classic basketball Orpington shape. I mean, they're so different physically than the Sussex. And I want to say the spots are bigger on the Jubilees. Mm-hmm. Than the Sussex. They definitely look different.
They look different to mm-hmm. someone who knows what chickens. They are. Some people, you know, when we post about our Jubilees, we'll always say they're a speckled Sussex.
Yeah.
But we both each only have one speckled Sussex. So the Jubilees, we were just talking about this the other day, kind of fill that void for the Sussex that they kind of relate to all each other. And the Jubilees have different coloring. They're some more brown, some more mahogany. But yeah, the Orpies are amazing. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
But how can you go wrong with the Orpies?
Do you have a second favorite?
I really like my Americana. My Americanas, I've got, how many do I have right now? I have two. I have a splash. I have a lavender. I had a black Americana baby, but she died. And I was really sad about that. So aww. I'm going to probably get one in the spring. And then I have a couple mix, Americana mixes. I can't get enough of chickens with cheeks. I just can't.
Right. We have a rescue rooster who's a Duclay. So, and like, they might be really great for your boys. I mean, so much cheek and all the foot feather. Ours is Rambo because I let my husband name him. And he really is just the most disgustingly cute thing I've ever seen. He's so stinking cute. But we saw the Splash Americanas at the Nationals and they are gorgeous.
They are.
Yeah. Yeah. Their only thing is like right now when everything I have is muddy and my chickens don't have any white in them, they just look so dingy.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to wash you with that. Like, what is that? Like purple shampoo or something that's supposed to make you look.
Exactly right.
So we just want to say thank you to Nikki for coming on for this such a fun hour talking.
Absolutely.
I love meeting everybody in the chicken world. It's so much fun. And, you know, you're always welcome to come to Maryland with your dad, of course. And... Thank you so much for having a great hour with us.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I had a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Anytime.
Our pleasure.
Anytime. Okay, well, maybe we'll have you back for the hatching. That might be fun.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Ooh. Okay, so we'll talk to you later.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye-bye.
We just want to thank Nikki one more time for a really great conversation. I think we have some really good points there for people who are looking to expand their coops and runs and add some birds to their flock in the spring.
It was lots of fun with lots of laughs.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks. And now it's time for
cracking the eggs.
Cracking those eggs. Now, this week we're going with simple because we're just starting the new year. Kind of want to be healthy but comfort. All those things wrapped in one dish. And we're going with?
Butter noodles with eggs and cheese.
So what this recipe calls for is butter noodles.
Right.
Eggs.
And cheese.
So this is something that you can make healthier or not so healthy. It can be a comfort food. It can be a quick weeknight meal. I'm a firm believer in the quick midweek meal.
This is absolutely healthy as long as you don't use a boatload of cheese. I mean, if you want to, you can. The eggs are perfectly healthy. The fettuccine, if you're going to sit down and eat the whole thing yourself, maybe you can argue it's not healthy, but... otherwise, this is good stuff.
It's just something quick that you can make. It's got your protein with the eggs in it, and it can be warm and cozy for a January night.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So let's go over some of the ingredients that we're going to do. It's going to take about a pound of noodles, and you can use one like fettuccine, something that's going to be a good size noodle.
You can use egg noodles. There's a gluten-free fettuccine that's really nice. That's one of the reasons I use that one.
I like egg noodles a lot for something like this. Mm-hmm. They're delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Four eggs. So, you know, a moderate amount of eggs. A cup of grated Parm or dairy-free Parm or dairy-free cheese of your choice. Mm-hmm. Two tablespoons of parsley or any kind of chopped greens that you'd like to put in it. Because it is January, we want to get some greens in there.
Some fresh green in there, yeah.
Some salt and pepper to taste and an amount of peas of your desire.
Yeah, you can throw a handful in there. We really like peas with pasta, you and I.
We grew up on it.
So, you know, you can add some if you want. If not, I mean, if you're going to add them, throw a cup in there and see. That's probably...
And if you want more, add more. And then let's not forget the butter.
Cannot forget the butter.
We need four tablespoons, which is a half a stick of butter or a half a stick of dairy-free butter. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's what we're going to need. It's simple. It uses some eggs. It gets you a protein. And it's yummy.
When it's cold like it is tonight, this sounds so good.
It's freezing.
So you're going to prepare your pasta using the directions on the package. So cook until about al dente.
Yeah.
While the pasta's cooking, you're going to take a bowl. You're going to put the eggs, the cheese, the parsley or greens, salt and pepper, and beat it with a whisk until it's well combined. You can also just beat the eggs on their own and then mix the stuff back in.
Right.
When the noodles are almost cooked, just about finished, you're going to grab a large skillet and you're going to melt your butter in there. Now, this speed is of the essence with this. This is very similar to carbonara, except it's not, right?
Right.
So when the noodles are almost cooked, quickly drain that pasta. You don't need to be meticulous. Just get it quickly drained, put it in the skillet, and toss it with the butter to get it coated. You're going to add the egg mixture in, and using a flat wooden spoon or a spatula, mix it quickly together for about a minute until the eggs and noodles have become creamy. They're getting thick. Don't do that too long. What you do not want is for those eggs to scramble. You want them to keep forming like a thick, cheesy sauce. And you're going to serve that immediately.
And then you're going to enjoy.
Yeah. You can throw your peas on top. You can serve it with a side of roasted broccoli. I mean, keep it easy, but it's delicious.
It's an easy midweek meal that is, you know, something that's going to comfort you. Not, like we said, you can make it as healthy or not healthy as you like. And it's good.
And it showcases your eggs. You know, if you've got girls, I will definitely have, I've got girls laying already.
Yeah.
If you have girls laying anytime soon, or you've had, you had pullets, so you have lots of pullet eggs to use. There you go.
It's a great January meal night.
You can make this with one goose egg.
You could. Okay. Try it. You might like it. Send us pictures. We'd like to see them. And it's yummy.
Bon appetit.
Yes, definitely. Okay. So are we ready to move on to retail therapy? Retail therapy.
Yeah.
This week's retail therapy, we're keeping it real for retail therapy.
And because we're rebels.
This is the real in retail. We're going to do coop heaters.
Coop heaters.
And give you some places that you can go if this is the road you want to go down.
Yeah, you know, just a quick recap. Most big fluffy chickens don't need coop heaters. Old chickens, tiny chickens, chickens with big Mediterranean combs, wattles, exposed feet, etc. may all need some help with the cold. We recommend flat panel coop heaters. They are zero clearance, which means they don't start fires.
They can sit on them.
They almost can sit on the shavings. Actually, mine have occasionally knocked them over in the shavings.
Well, that and my geriatric Anastasia likes to roost on top of the heater.
Oh, yeah. My Nankin hens actually roost almost every night on top of their cozy coop heater. Yeah.
Right. So it's a safe alternative. It doesn't use nearly as much electricity.
It uses a tiny amount of electricity.
Right. And it is something that's a lot of people out there. It's not a necessity, but it doesn't hurt. And it can save your chickens in frostbite and different things that you don't want to have to deal with down the road.
Absolutely. Also, if you're using these properly, they're not making your coop hot at all.
Right.
They're just keeping your coop from getting frigid. They're keeping frostbite from happening, and they're keeping birds comfortable.
They're keeping it over 32 degrees.
In a small coop, one of these probably does bring it up to like
33.
Between 30, 33, 35, something like that. If you have a big coop, like our big Amish coops, you need at least two of them.
Right.
And again, it's not getting super warm in there. You're still probably going to be in the 30s, max 40s.
Right.
And that kind of duplicates the weather swing from the morning to the afternoon.
It's, exactly. You know,
they are perfectly safe for your birds. We have the brands we like and use.
Right. Which you can go over to our Amazon storefront. We will have them there.
Right.
So you can link right to them. There's not a big lookup. So let's name some of the places where you can go. The first is Amazon.
Right. And on Amazon, most of what you're going to find are cozy coop heaters. We do have more than one brand, but we use cozy coop heaters a lot. It's a good, reliable brand. I find that they are invaluable in my plastic coops.
Right.
Where my bantams are, and they need a little bit of help. So the standard size cozy coop heater fits perfectly in a small plastic coop.
It does. Now, if you like the sweeter heaters, which is the heater that hangs, mm-hmm. they're perfectly great. But you have to have a larger coop to have. Yeah, and generally wood, because you're going to be putting them and drilling them in and hanging them over.
They come in different sizes, but I believe that sweeter heaters are at their best in a large space.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Martha Stewart has a sweeter heater hanging from the ceiling in every one of her chicken coops.
Right.
And they are an investment. They're pricier, but boy, are they good.
And our guest on today, Nikki, who had the round table with us, she uses a sweeter heater.
She does.
In her coops. So it's all about your spacing and whether or not you pick a panel heater or the sweeter heater.
Right.
So the other places that you can go to are My Pet Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
So My Pet Chicken does supply them on their website. You can go over and check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Another standby, a good place to go is Chewy. A lot of times Chewy will run sales on their panel heaters.
I've gotten a lot of good sales on my panel heaters at Chewy. Yeah, that's where the most of mine have come from, Chewy. Yeah. Now, the flat panel heaters are exactly the same technology as the brooder plates that have become so
correct.
So popular. And so Producer's Pride, which is one of TSC's house brands, makes a really, really great convertible heat panel brooder plate.
I own it.
You have that one.
Yeah. I own all different kinds of panel heaters from different brands. I like to try different ones and, you know, just see how they work. And I do get, it's called Producer's Pride.
Right.
And it works very well. And you can convert it to a larger brooder plate for your chicks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always good.
And there are a couple of other brands out there. The brand we like best is the Cozy Coop, but I believe K&H Pet also makes a flat panel heater. The problem with the panel heaters, I think their one weak spot is that sometimes the switch will go bad, which is super frustrating.
That is very frustrating if the panel works and the switch goes bad.
Right.
And there's generally, you know, multiple settings. You can go low, high, depending upon what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a good thing to have. If you go up to anybody and say, would you rather have luxury or not? I'm going to tell you about 99 out of 100 people are going to say, I want luxury, right?
Absolutely.
So are your chickens. So, you know, if you choose not to, that's fine. If you choose to, these are some good options.
Right.
And you can't go wrong with doing it.
You can't. You're not hurting your chickens in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
That's just absolutely a myth. And frankly, we've done a lot of research on this a lot over the years. And there are studies that do talk about problems with acclimation. But without exception, every single study was birds that were in air conditioning going out to, say, 90 degree heat.
Right.
And that's, and even people, that's hard to recover from.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I've never heard not one person ever, ever, they all say your chickens will die, but I've never heard one person say, oh, my chicken died from being in a coop with a flat panel heater.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, the caveat here is we always say do not use heat lamps. They are way more of a fire risk. So, panel heaters are the way to go. And that's why we're focusing on those on this week's retail therapy. Okay. So should we tell everybody what we're talking about next week?
Next week, we are spotlighting a runaway favorite from the past couple of years.
It is.
The American Breast.
Yes, that is a runaway favorite.
It's a white chicken, but it's a bit of a dark horse.
Yes. And we'll tell you why then. You got to listen.
Main topic, we are talking about winter issues in your running coop, whether that's snow, whether that's mud.
What's going on right now?
Yeah, exactly. Cracking the eggs. This is so amazing. Cauliflower crust pizza.
And how to personalize it.
Yeah, yeah. And retail therapy. We're staying with this theme. We're doing heated water bowls to use in your run.
Because if you need them, we need to know where to get them.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what should we tell everybody to do until next week?
Hug your chickens.
Every day and kiss them too. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to see more of us, please follow us on Instagram at Coffee with the Chicken Ladies. If you'd like to help us grow the podcast, please leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to become a patron of the show, please visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/coffeewiththechickenladies. Thanks for listening.